let me first explain a couple of my votes, because I voted no a couple of times tonight. First and foremost, I want to thank staff, and I also want to thank Chris, who's not here this evening due to his illness, for my interaction and discussion with him about the teachers showing up this evening and trying to work through the math of the contracts that have been given out. Very much appreciate that communication, Scott. I want to thank you for your time today as well, going through the budget issues. Mm-hmm. And as I've said since the day one on this board, is I can't vote for a proposed budget that runs in a deficit. That doesn't make sense to me fiscally. At the same point in time, knowing what I know now and how our budgets are run, I don't know why the state requires us to put a proposed budget together in March when we don't get the real budget from the governor till June anyways. It's like, hey, guess what I'm going to do? And he's moving the balls all around. It makes no sense. It puts us as a board, puts our staff as a group under scrutiny to real and fake news, to create stories left and right about things we can't do anything about until June, which is why I vote in June yes, but I vote no in these preliminaries. So I just want to make sure that is again on the record as to why that particular vote went down. The other issue I have is the development fees. It cuts both ways. Yes, the fees increase for purposes of our school board and for our district, but also keep in mind that we have declining ADA. Well, declining ADA also goes hand in hand with affordable housing. The more costly it is for developers to build housing, the harder it is for people to move into that housing, if it's built, or it delays building, or it prevents building altogether. So how do we balance that? To be frank with you, I knew that that was going to pass by our board. Not because we collaborated on it, we did not, but I just stayed on the board for 3 years to figure out how people are truly going to vote. But I want to make sure on the record you know why I didn't vote for it. Not that I don't want our district to have more money, but I would like to have more ADA, I would like to have more affordable housing that allows our students and our families to be able to come to school. So that students and families from other areas of San Diego can look to the East County and say, hey, there's development going on out here. And Cajon Valley is the district we want them to go to, even if the development happens to be in Santee, or the development happens to be in Lakeside, or the development happens to be in Hamul. We want to be in Cajon Valley. So that's just one explain this folks. With regard to fun things, very honored to have staff invite my daughter here this evening to give her TED talk. I'm a very proud father of my little girl, all right? I think that's fair enough. I could just get her bigger bed one. But her ability to present in front of a room full of people or on a stage in Petco Park at 12 years old and last year at 11 years old, even though she didn't do it last year. And I'm very proud of my little girl, but I'm proud of every kid that did that. To sit there and see those kids get up and the Bostonian Language Academy just back and forth, Spanish and English, not missing a beat, phenomenal. Presentation literacy, not tell you how important that is. Now, I don't necessarily completely agree with the presentation about, you know, because people have been successful and have dropped out of school, that is something to think about. At the same point in time, as an attorney, I've represented some people in the East County that they didn't finish college, and they're multi-millionaires. They've done very, very well for themselves in trade. But the reality of it is, moving forward, your ability to interact, your ability to present, your ability to convey ideas and thoughts and be creative is exceptionally important. Again, something that our district separates itself from other districts. Circling back to my conversation, or I should say communications with Chris, because he's been sick. I was sick for the last several days. I'm actually better tonight. I'm actually surprised I have enough energy at this point in the day from I was last night. Because being it was last night, I wouldn't have been here. Math can be tricky sometimes. And when people look at from 2016 to projected to 2021, and then news outlets, fake or real, decide to lump it all into one year, thank you for addressing that, it can look very, very skewed. But I can tell you from my perspective that nobody on this board voted to give any one bargaining unit more percentage than any other bargaining unit, inclusive of step and column. Now, Chris in our communications acknowledged with me that administration has a step and column of 5 steps. I come from the private world. I don't have step and column. I either make it or I don't. I charge $500 an hour and see if I get a client, or I charge $100 an hour and see if I get a client. But I don't turn around and complain because the lawyer next to me is charging $500 to get the clients. So when administration has a 5-step step and column, and the other units have 27 steps in step and column, I think we have a long way to go before we start complaining, honestly, about adding a couple more steps to the administrative side of step and column, because the percentages remain the same when you look at it from the base. To look at it the other way would mean that there was no more step and column for the administrative side. They're actually getting less, mathematically speaking, than those that continue to step and receive the 3, 1, and 2. Good leadership deserves what good leadership can be paid. Now, we have a person on this cabinet, Ed Delgado, who could be doing his job for Qualcomm making 5 times as much. I have absolutely zero doubt about that. Right? 5 times as much. Man could be making just shy of $1 million a year in base salary, given what he's been able to do. We're getting him for a bargain because he loves his work, he loves these kids, he loves the people he works with. I have no doubt about that. I just wish he'd finally call me Jim instead of Mr. Miller. It's not wrong to pay leadership what leadership's worth if they inspire, if they support, and if they allow you to fail so long as you fail forward. Every teacher, every mechanic, every bus driver, every school nurse, every principal, every vice principal in this district should feel free to fail forward. If they don't feel that way, let's talk to them, because they should. Because as they fail forward, it's going to make everything better for our kids. In private practice, I fail plenty of times. Not necessarily in a courtroom, thank God. All right. But in business management practices, how do I run my office? How do I run a multitasking business of both a sports agency and a legal practice, and then working government, holding a public office, coaching club, professional soccer, all these other things, these hats I wear. But when I fail forward. I thank Denzel Washington for that statement, and his speech. But that's what we want to do, fall forward. Again, I don't blame people for esoterically being upset that the administration has higher salaries. Same point in time, if you want to be administrators, you want to make those higher salaries, love to train you. Love to give you those opportunities. There's nothing that prevents anybody in our district from moving forward and doing different things. We'll support that career change. We'll support that endeavor. Let us help you get where you want to be. I have a lot of friends who are teachers, both in this district and outside. Not a single one of them went into teaching because of money. They all love the summer zone. So, long story short, I cannot tell you how proud I am to sit on this board, how fortunate and blessed I feel that I am to sit on this board. And with regard to my comments to Trustee Bartow tonight, I'm not meant to belittle, I'm not meant to antagonize, but as a member of the board, we act collectively. Nobody on this board independently as the authority to step outside of that collective authority. We don't have independent authority to go and investigate on our own what may or may not be going on. Our job is to direct that information and to direct that inquiry to staff, and if necessary, for the board then to take direction collectively. We're not to independently show up at school sites unannounced because we think we're entitled to it. We're not supposed to conduct investigations independently because we think we're entitled to it. As a board member, as an elected officer, we get to hold things, it's called qualified immunity, and I made a comment of that during our back and forth. Qualified immunity goes towards governmental entities who sit as elected boards acting in our capacity. Once you start acting outside of that capacity, you lose that immunity, and your actions become independent, creating liability. Trustee Bartow sat on this board for 24 years. She loves to tell us that. I'm very proud of her service up to possibly the last 8 months. I would like to see her think back to when she first was a young board member and where we are now. And perhaps that will help bring back some of the stability that President Otero was talking about, that we can bring an eighth grader on board to be a board member and not see the acrimony in motion. We're supposed to be grown adults. All right, I've pontificated enough tonight. I'm sure I'll find my quote misquoted in some local birdcage feeder soon enough. All right.